Okay, Wes, thank you very much. This is Thanksgiving Eve, and we'll just spend a moment or two looking at a couple of things in regard to Thanksgiving. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the so great a salvation you have given to us. How thankful we are, Father, that you are a loving, gracious God. And we do give thanks, Father, for so much. So many things we can complain about in our country, but we give thanks for it and for the freedom that we have to come and worship and use our freedom in any way that we see fit, not to worship or to worship. We're so thankful, Father, for the Holy Spirit who leads and guides, empowers, teaches, encourages, comforts, all the ministries and the fruit of the Spirit. Father, we just thank you. And give thanks for our homes, our parents, families. And just pray, Father, that we will have a thankful attitude each day, not just at this time of the season. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, let's first of all begin by looking at Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7, we've studied Revelation 7 on Tuesday night. And it's very interesting that in Revelation 7, where we are dealing with an interlude, but we're looking at the 144,000. And in verse 12 of Revelation 7, we have something really beautiful. And it says in verse 11, "And the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God." So we're talking about the angels here. This is what angels do. Angels are very much involved in our life. And this is what they said. Amen, which means full of agreement and proclamation, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So what I'm showing here, what we're seeing here, is that in the angelic realm, they know to give thanksgiving. We are seeing here that this is what angels do. How much more should we as man, if angels give thanksgiving? Now let's look at Psalm 100, and note a few things in Psalm 100. This is a psalm of thanksgiving, thanking God for God's blessing, God's provision, God's plan, the entire aspect. Unless a psalm declares exactly what the psalm is written about, some people try to put a psalm with some event in history in David's life, but if there's none that is given, then it's a mindset of David, it's a mindset of the writer of the psalm in regard to his relationship with God. So let's look at the mindset of thanksgiving. A psalm for thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Okay, first of all, thanksgiving is a mindset. It's an attitude about you and God, God's relationship with you. It's a mindset. It's something that your mind understands, a relationship between you and God. We should give thanks to Him every day. Let me give you three times in a day when it is really effective to give thanksgiving. First of all, it is extremely healthy, and I'm talking physically as well as spiritually, to start the day giving thanks. Some people start the day dreading to go to work. That affects your body, affects your heart, affects your stress, your tension. We need to have our body at rest, at ease. And one of the most beautiful ways to start a day is to start the day giving thanks before you go into the battle of the day. Thanking Him as you enter into the trials and responsibilities and things that you have to do during the day. Then thanking Him at noontime. You take that break in the middle of the day. Just giving thanks. It gives you a mindset. Boom. A mindset. It changes from the problems and the responsibilities, how things are going wrong, they're going right, to just settling back a moment. You don't have to go hide in the closet, at your desk, at work, at the lunching table. You just at noontime. Use that noontime. Give thanks. And then, of course, at the end of the day. And remember that the things for which you give thanks for daily, you value in life. I think in a lot of marriages, husband and wife need to give thanks for each other every day. Not with each other. Well, it can be with each other. I'm not saying don't do that. But on your own. This is my prayer. This is my time with God. God, I thank you for my husband. God, I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my children. I thank you for my parents. I thank you for my family, my friends, the church. And whatever you constantly, and by constantly I mean daily, give thanks for, you value. But if we would get into a habit, not only of prayer, but of thanksgiving prayer, not throwing out all your problems, nothing wrong with that, your problems and your desires and other people, but just thank you. Take 60 seconds. Wow. 60 seconds in the morning, 60 seconds at noon, 60 seconds at night to give Him thanks. Just three minutes a day of thanksgiving. Not even all at once. I just wish if Christians would get into the habit in the Holy Spirit to just thanking Him. Thanking Him. You go through different things that you thank Him for in the morning, at noon, and at night. And if you're married, a family, friend, whatever, you do it together. You give that thanks together. Now, look what it says. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Thanksgiving is characterized with these joyful sounds, these joyful shouts. Now, the shout in the Old Testament is related to victory. The shouts of victory, the shouts of this. So it's an expression in the Jewish mind of victory. So it is characterized by these joyful shouts. Not shouts of war, but joyful shouts. Now, while thanksgiving is a mindset, it often overflows into overt manifestation. Like shouting for victory. To the Lord of all the earth. Then verse 2. In verse 2 we have two manifestations of being thankful. Service and singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Okay, let's talk about serve the Lord with gladness. Let's talk about the word service. So many people have a problem with the ideal of serving. Well, that means work, and that means responsibility. Legalists make it an obligation owed to God that we are to serve. But if we take the Jewish ideal of this word, the Hebraic ideal of the word, the serving is the opposite of not serving the Lord. You are going to serve. You're either going to serve your own flesh, or you're going to serve the world, or you're going to serve the Lord. You are going to do that. So it's not like serving versus not serving. You're going to serve. You'll serve your own flesh desires, you'll serve the world, or you'll serve the Lord. That's the ideal of the verse here. Serve the Lord. The point here is the Lord, not the service. Because you're going to serve. It's just a matter of who, what you're going to serve. You're going to serve the desires of your flesh, or are you going to serve the Lord? And that's the point that is going on here. And it's very important. We can spend our time serving our flesh, fulfilling its desire, the things that it wants, saving all the money, spending the money for the flesh, and doing everything for the flesh. We can serve a human being. We can serve our husband, our wife, to the point of where it's not in the spiritual realm. But, or we can serve the world, or we can serve the Lord. And people, we're here to serve the Lord. It's a manifestation of a thankful attitude. When you're thankful, when a husband is thankful for his wife, he wants to serve. It's a manifestation of an attitude to serve. If you're thankful for your husband, you want to serve. If you're thankful for your wife, you want to serve. You're thankful for your children. You're thankful for these things. You want to serve in this realm. This is what is going on between thanksgiving and serving the Lord. Now it says with gladness, with an attitude. Just Sunday morning in Romans 1. Where we saw in Romans 1, 16, where Paul says that he is eager to serve in what? In the proclaiming of the gospel. But the word there is the eager. That's a kind of a parallel of what we have here. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve in the proclamation. Serve in your service of the Lord with an eagerness. This is what we have here. This is the idea here. Serving the Lord, not out of obligation, but out of thanksgiving. Serving the Lord out of I'm thankful. And this is just a response of that thanksgiving. And the only way we can do this is with an understanding of His grace and of His love. Then, in the Holy Spirit, we serve with this attitude of gladness. Growing up, moving into the Christmas season, for those of you that will be listening to this before Christmas, one of the things we did at our home in a tradition was about, I guess, oh, I'm trying to think how many families, maybe 10 families, aunts, uncles, families. We all met at my grandfather's house every Christmas morning. Now that I'm an adult, I have to laugh at my poor aunts and uncles that had to be over there at 7 in the morning. Every Christmas morning, and I remember looking at some of my uncles, and they'd just be sitting there, and you could tell they were dead, and drinking coffee to try to wake up, just sitting over in the corner, grunting and groaning in the kitchen, in the warm kitchen at my grandparents, and the kids just bouncing off the wall, because you couldn't go into the Christmas tree room until everyone was there, and you go in, and they took pictures and all that kind of stuff. So you have about, you know, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 kids bouncing off the wall. The aunts and uncles, especially the uncles, just sitting there. Oh, what am I doing here? And all this stuff going on. And when we went in and opened the gifts, I remember from the very first, my earliest remembrance of Christmas, we had to say thank you for every gift we opened. Until finally it was just, we were thankful. But Mom sat behind us, and she'd say, "Who's that from?" "Oh, I don't know." And we get, you know, our kids are, so we grab the paper. "Oh, it's from Uncle Wesley." "Thank you. Thank you, Uncle Wesley." So finally you get rid of that. After a while you do it so that your mother doesn't have any, you know, anger over you. And then finally, thank you. As you grow older, you appreciate it more. Thanksgiving is an attitude. In the human realm, it has to be trained. In the spiritual realm, the Holy Spirit gives us this attitude. The Holy Spirit will give us this attitude of thanksgiving. We serve Him with gladness because He's our Savior, because He's the Lord of the earth, the Lord Almighty, as we saw in Revelation. Then it says, come before Him, in verse 2, serve the Lord with an attitude of gladness, not compulsion, where I'm, you have to do it or anything, no. With thanksgiving. Come before Him with joyful singing. Okay, singing is an interesting part. Music is an interesting part of the Bible. You have so many of the, well, you know all of the Psalms. It's called Psalms, songs. And there are other portions of the Bible that are written in poetic or songs, or at least parts of them, to be accompanied by a musical instrument. There's just a wonderful attitude with music. I'm so glad the way God made us, the senses of the body, the five senses of hearing and experiencing and enjoying music. And it's just a vital part. I know last week when I was in Albuquerque at the Western Music Association festival, it was just, the people were just unbelievable. Everyone was there, no matter what table, what room, who I met, everyone was just there for happy. All day long, they're playing their instruments, and the yodeling, or singing, or harmonizing, all day. And then after everything's over at night, all over the hotel, downstairs, in different corners, were different jam groups. And everyone, no one was there with their problems. No one was there with their big deal, and they did this or that. Everyone was just having a wonderful time. They were enjoying it. Music is a wonderful part of life. It's a happiness in life. They're sad songs, but these are joyful songs of thanksgiving, maybe even in difficult times. Now, verse 3 is interesting. Verse 3. Four things we should know about him that will lead us to a mindset of thanksgiving. Four things in verse 3 that the Holy Spirit causes us to know that will lead to an attitude of thanksgiving. And the battle starts with the first word of verse 3. No. No. There's your battle. Not going to know if you don't open a text. I don't know what people at this church are doing that only come on Sunday. That's not going to be enough. You're not going to get enough for hardly anything at 1 hour on Sunday morning. But that's their decision. Because the battle is going to be fought, and the thanksgiving, these things, the more you learn about this God, the more you grasp of His grace, of His love, of His mercy. This is why this kind of word is all through the Scriptures. And you can say, well, we don't need it. No, the Bible says we do. So look what he says. No. Now here are the things that we're exhorted to know. Four things. No. One, the Lord himself is God. Two, it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Three, we are his people. And four, we are the sheep of his pasture. Wow. You start grasping what those things are, and there's an attitude of thanksgiving. What's your view of God? I say it all the time. Talked about it last week in Albuquerque. What's your view of God? The more you learn of God, the more you give thanks and glory to him. Now, we know these truths of God by the revealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. We open the text, the Holy Spirit is a teacher and reveals these things to us. Let's go over them kind of quick. Number one, know who he is. What's your view of God? We want to know who he is. The Lord himself is God. Jesus Christ is God. You want a verse? You want a verse in the Bible that Jesus Christ is deity? Here it is. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is God. He is God. This is crucial to our theology, to our understanding of God, of Jesus Christ. Know who he is. He is our Lord. He is God. And therefore we start with our thanksgiving. Then secondly, know where we came from. Just last night we talked about your origin. Where you came from determines the present and the future. So look what it says. Know where we came from. He made us. Where did we come from? He made us. Not we ourselves. Now, I'm not going to develop this in great detail, but what we really have here are both of our origins. Our earthly origin, fleshly origin, not evolution. He made us. And then secondly, we did not make ourselves a spiritual creature. He did that. He made us. So we add the principle of knowing our origin in the flesh and in the spirit. That determines how we live now. That determines the future. It has so much to do to know where you came from. This is a wonderful thing to give thanks. Sometimes some children are very thankful to their parents. Thank you for having me. I wouldn't be here if you did not have me. Very thankful to our parents. Okay, this is what I'm saying about our relationship with God. Thank you, God. You made me. You saved me. You made me a human being. You made me a new spiritual creature in Christ. Thank you. Thank you for my origin. Thank you for bringing me into being. I would not be in being if it were not for you. Either even in the flesh, and especially in the spirit, I wouldn't be here if it was not for you. So we give thanks. So, first of all, know who He is, and we give thanks for that. And then secondly, know where we came from. He made us. First birth, second birth. Not we ourselves, our limitations. We're totally helpless, so we give thanks to God. And then the third, know who we are. Want to know who we are? We are His people. We are His people. We are His pasture. Here's something to give thanks for. Let me explain this. Here's something to give thanks for. We are His sheep. Some people don't like that. I've actually heard Christians say, oh, that sheep thing, and they're dumb, they're this, they're that. But you lost the analogy. Let me tell you the analogy, being a sheep. Think about it. Sheep don't work. Think about that. We didn't. He doesn't say we are His oxen. Doesn't say that. It doesn't say we are His asses or His mules. Doesn't say that. An ox has to work. A mule has to carry a heavy load. It doesn't say we're His horse. It doesn't say we're His cattle. It says we are His sheep. Think about the production of a sheep. Sheep doesn't do a thing for that production. It eats. It eats, and the wool grows. The sheep never says, I'm going to grow some fine wool. The sheep doesn't say, I'm going to grow some beautiful wool. Sheep just eats. That's all a sheep does, just keep eating. Keep roaming around and drinking and eating and drinking and eating. And then every now and then they come along and shear it all off of him. Sheep doesn't know what in the world's going on. I'm told they feel better after they've been sheared. But that's it. That's it. That's our production. Talk about the service. Serve the Lord. We just eat of His Word, drink of the Spirit of water, life, and He does all the work. He does everything. And we're His sheep. It's to give thanks for. We should give thanks that we're not called. We are His mules. We should give thanks we're not His oxen. We're sheep. Let me lead you over to the pasture of my Word. Let me feed you. Let me protect you. Let me provide for you. You can't do anything. I do everything for you. It's a beautiful analogy to give thanksgiving for. So if you have nothing else tonight to give thanks for, thank you, God, that I'm not your mule. Thank you, God, that I'm not your oxen. Thank you, God, that I'm not your horse. I'm your sheep. You feed me. You protect me. You take care of me. You take the wool. This is so beautiful and something we can give thanks for. So verse 3, know that I, the Lord Himself, is God. Or it doesn't say, the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made you and not we ourselves. We are of His people, and fourth, the sheep of His pasture. Now we come to verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Okay. Think about Jerusalem as all the gates. and they had the work gate, the fish gate, have all these gates for going in and out. So how does this apply to us? We enter each day. We enter each day with thanksgiving. This is the concept that applies to us. The courts are the courts of worship, with praise of who and what He is. And then it says to give thanks to Him. Just give thanks to Him. Thanking Him for everything. Things that we've noted, other things in your life. Bless His name. How do we bless His name? We bless His name, one, by walking by faith. We bless His name, two, in our prayers of thanksgiving. And three, in telling others of Him, of His name. That's how we bless His name. And then the psalm ends in verse 5. For the Lord is good. Now sometime what you receive from the Lord may not look good to you, but as I've always said, we don't know everything God is doing in your life. We can't see everything God is doing. It's like we saw Sunday. You just look at one aspect, you look at what's going on in your life, you don't see what God is doing. Last night we saw Jesus Christ saying, I am, present tense, coming, the end of the tribulation. Now, if you just looked at everything going on in the world, you'd just say, man, it's over. No, we look at the spiritual realm, I'm coming. Then it says, for the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting. His love is forever. It doesn't matter what's going on. Whether you're good or bad, in sin or not, His love is everlasting. It'll go on through all eternity. That's why I like the hymn that we sometimes sing in dealing with the Pharisees of high praise. And they go through all of their stuff. And then the last hymn, the virtues will all pass away. Faith will pass away. But saints will forever love. Isaac Watts' words. Saints will forever love. In eternity, we'll never get away with that. Get away from that. For the Lord is good. His love is everlasting. And His faithfulness to all generations. So we give thanks for the Lord, for His love and for His faithfulness to us. We're not faithful, but He is faithful. Let's read it. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know, here's what you want to know. Know that the Lord Himself is God. So if you'll note, verse 1, shout. Verse 2, serve. Verse 3, know. Verse 4, enter. So this is the flow if you were studying it another way. We can look at it. Verse 1, shout joyfully. Verse 2, serve the Lord. And also verse 2, come before Him. Verse 3, know. Going to know something. Verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Verse 4, give thanks to Him. These are the exhortations that make your life a thankful life, an exuberant life. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves, first birth and spiritual birth. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So verse 3, Jesus Christ is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people, that's who we are, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates, enter into life with thanksgiving. That's your mindset. Not with complaining, not with complaining, not with anger, not with belly aching, not with sorrow and sadness, but with thanksgiving. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. That's your mindset, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. We bless His name by faith. We bless His name by praising Him in it. And then thirdly, by telling others of His name. And five, for the Lord is good. His love is everlasting. We give thanks for that. He is good. Thanksgiving. His love is everlasting. Thanksgiving. His faithfulness to all. He is faithful to all generations. That means to you and me. We give thanks. Well, I hope you all have a good Thanksgiving tomorrow with your families, and we'll get back to church Sunday, and worship together in the book of Romans. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful, and we do give thanks for your love and for your faithfulness. It's like gravity here on earth, Father. We don't really think about it, but boy, we'd be in trouble if it weren't there every day, every minute, every second, every tenth of a second. And that's your faithfulness. We wouldn't be able to make it if you were not faithful. And in that faithfulness, your love. So we give thanks to you, Father. We give thanks to you for things, of course. We give thanks to you for relationships, of course, our husbands, our wives, our family, friends. We give thanks for the God that you are and all that you provide. In Christ's name we praise you. Amen.